Stories are powerful and often living things. We have, from our past, stories forever woven into the essence of our being, and we have the stories of the present that are like threads of many colors and textures, just waiting to see if they too become like permanent fabric in the patchwork of our lives. Stories are powerful. As Christians, our stories are of those contained within the Old and the New Testaments, the Gospels within the New Testament, that gives us the words and the actions of Jesus, the things that we are to follow, we are to emulate. These are the stories of God made flesh and walking among us. They're powerful stories. But how important are those gospel stories in our lives? I mean, some out there say that they could never be a Christian because our four gospels don't match. There are differences. The raising of Lazarus from the dead is only in the Gospel of John. The parable of the Good Samaritan is only in Luke. The Last Supper is in all four gospels, but Holy Communion is only present in three of them. In John, we get a different sacrament, that of washing of feet. The resurrection appearances aren't even in all four Gospels. They're only in three of them. There's many, many examples of differences within the Gospels. Advent is preparing us for encounters with Jesus. So certainly the birth stories will match. The birth story of Jesus only shows up in two Gospels, Matthew and Luke. In both of these stories, Jesus is born in Bethlehem. However, in Luke, Mary and Joseph travel from Nazareth. And while they're there, the baby is born. And in Matthew, they already live in Bethlehem. The shepherds and the angels only show up in Luke. And the wise men, they only show up in Matthew. Personally, I actually like that the gospel stories are different. It reminds me that each of us connects with Jesus in our own unique way. This was true for the gospel writers as well. But there are many events that do show up in all four gospels. We all know what it's like when you're in class, and the more a teacher tells you something, you know, the more to prepare for the test, right? The more important it is, whatever that magic number is. Today I'm going to say it's four. Because there's four Gospels, and the star figure of Advent, John the Baptist, he does show up in all four Gospels. So there must be some importance there for us to pay attention to. John reminds us of our need to do away with the things that get in the way of our relationship with God. Kind of a reflection of what I said last week, because we get John 2 weeks in a row. But being reminded that our sins get in the way, it's important. John lets us know that we have to admit our sins. We have to come to terms with that, with our imperfections. We're not perfect. We do create separation. But it's not just admitting it. In the gospel, they admitted their sins, and then they engaged in an outward and visible sign of their change. In the gospel, that outward and visible sign was baptism. For us, it's baptism too, but it's not just that act of baptism. It's the living out of our baptismal covenants that is that action part of recognizing and confessing and then living into it. John the Baptist reminds us to look beyond ourselves and seek Jesus among us. He says, "Among you stands one you do not know, the one who is coming after me." Jesus was already there. They didn't know who he was. There were things standing in their way. It is important that John's in all four. And if we don't hear John's Advent message, we're going to miss Jesus among us. We have to hear the message to open our eyes. When I reflect on John's Advent message, it takes me back to the 47 Advents of my life. Reflect on how they've molded me. As I think back to my earliest memories of Advent and Christmas, I'm fortunate that the things that surface are positive and warm. Not the case for everyone. But I recall the little things, like getting lost in the glow of the colored lights that were meticulously wrapped on each individual branch of a fresh tree. And I remember hanging my special ornaments. I got a new one each year. I remember the importance of fellowship and sharing the Spirit with others as we gathered each year for a caroling party. It was with extended family and with our closest friends. It was a large group. Each family would pick one or two special houses to share our musical gift. And then we headed back to one of our group's houses for food and more singing. Each year, my cousin Susan and I sang the fifth day of Christmas. It was ours. We owned it. Those five golden rings. I remember being taught to help others by sharing what we had. I didn't actually learn this in church. I learned this from the Lions Club. I'm telling you, that's where I learned the importance of sharing what I had with others, because each year there was a Christmas project that they had, and it was like the whole town joined in. We assembled food baskets in the armory. It was turned it into like a grocery store, and you pushed carts around, and you gathered how many things that were on the list. And if there were kids, you went to the toy section, and they already had them prepared and wrapped, and you put those in your basket, and then you put them over into the place where they were ready to be delivered. Dad and I would deliver some as well for those who couldn't pick them up. My family never traveled during the holidays, which meant every year without fail, I learned the importance of worshiping in my community as we filled the front pew of our church for midnight mass. When I was young, I slept in my mother's arms, and as I got older, I served as an acolyte at the altar. One year, while serving the altar, I kept the whole congregation awake. I was nodding off, and my head was right here, just inches from the candle. This is a story that lives on, as I would just fade toward it, and then I'd pop back up awake, and Mom talks about how the whole congregation was going like this with me, and then poof, they'd pop back up too. I don't think they heard a thing of that sermon that year. When we got home, we would open one present, and then it was off to bed with visions of sugar plums dancing in our heads. The morning was typical with mounds of wrapping paper and my Mimi's special cinnamon pastries. That afternoon, it brought with it a large family meal and the celebration of my sister's birthday, at which time I gave her my standard gift, a $20 bill that I had received that morning as a gift myself. These are my stories, and this is my childhood family traditions. Some of them have carried over into adulthood, and other stories and traditions began anew upon my marriage to Tricia and the raising of our own children. Each of us has our own unique stories of Advent. Like the Gospels, our stories don't match. But it is in our unique stories of Advent that we see our stories woven into the story of the divine. Let Advent remind us that we're all stories in the end. Let's make it a good one. Amen.